And just to think that 43 years ago, there's just a little group, a few families, who started to meet together to have some Bible studies and to begin a church like this. So I want to read to you, who are we then as a church? And this is from 1 Peter chapter 3, 2, and verse 9. I wonder, do you feel like this? I'm going to read this to you. But you... So you, all of us here, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You're a chosen people. That's pretty special then. You're a royal priesthood. Like we have, as the priests have connection with God and connection with people, we represent God to other people in our world. You're a holy nation. So we, as followers of Jesus, we're a nation, we're a people group. A people belonging to God. The God of the universe, we belong to him. He's our God. And our purpose then is to declare the praises of Jesus Christ, who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. That's our purpose. And over these years, there's been a lot that God has done at Community Bible Church and through Community Bible Church. And our motto now, our vision is this one, a Christ-centered community, making disciples who love God, who love his word, and love one another, reaching into the world with the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. To the degree that this has happened over these 43 years, we want to praise God for this morning and thank him for all that he has done. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I know that that's the experience of a whole bunch of people over these 43 years. That they came with a certain confusion about God or about life or about life after death and about the meaning of life, and through their time here have found the reality of the living and resurrected Jesus coming to live within their own life to give them direction and joy and a purpose and a reason for living. And we want to thank God for this. God has blessed many people over these 43 years, and we thank him. We've also walked as a family, I would say, through thick and thin, through good times and really tough times. Over the years, we've had the heartbreaking losses of some very precious people, some young, some middle-aged, some old. We've had wonderful, joyful times as we've celebrated baptisms here of people committing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and marriages and births like we just did this morning, and singing together and Christmas concerts and so many wonderful things where we've had incredible joy. But the greatest joy of all has been to see women and men come to put their faith in Jesus Christ and find a purpose and a reason for living. And so we thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for the many men and women who have been involved in CBC over the years, those who have been on staff, and many of you who have volunteered and continue to volunteer. Faithful, faithful people of the family of God. And so this sermon today has two parts. The first one is looking back, and the second is looking forward. We've just looked back to the past, and we're thanking the Lord for what he's done. And I'm going to ask Alyssa now to come and to sing for us a song that's been very, very popular, well-loved, and very, very meaningful over the years to the people at Community Bible Church. How can I say thanks for all the things you've done for us? To God be the glory for the things that he has done. I thought you were going to sing that to Alyssa. Sorry, that was wonderful. Loved it very much. And so the Lord has done wonderful things. And this vision that we have here, this vision statement has been around for a couple of years, but really the essence of it has been practiced for these 43 years, that we be this Christ-centered community making disciples who love, who do a lot of loving here. You see, it's a key word, who love God, love his word, love one another, and reach out into the world with the gospel. I want us to look at the statement just for a minute. Christ-centered community. Who's the center of Community Bible Church? Just help me out here now. This is the responsive time. Yeah, it's not me. It's not other leaders. It's not people on staff. It's not even you. It's Jesus Christ who's the center, and we want to keep Jesus Christ the center here. It's not Queen Elizabeth. It's not the new king. Last week you sang, God save the king, right? We are not following that king. We are following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who is the center. We'll respect those who are in authority over us, but we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of all things. And I want to tell you something. I am not sure I would even believe in God if it weren't for Jesus. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but I'm not sure I'd believe in God if it weren't for Jesus. There are so many rotten things that happen in the world, and even now, there are wars, and there are famines, and there are droughts, and there are earthquakes, and all kinds of things, awful things all over the world. How can you believe in a loving God with all these things happening? But then I look at Jesus, and I say, this is not a natural man. This is a supernatural man. This is someone who is more than just a human being. Could this be God in the flesh? The way he lived his life, the brilliance of his teaching. I don't know if you read the Bible much, but when you read through Jesus' words and the words that God has revealed to us here, you see there's brilliance here. There's incredible wisdom. When you see how Jesus honored women in a culture that did not honor women, when I see all these things, and when I see his sacrificial death on the cross and his powerful resurrection, and look at all the evidence for the resurrection, there's incredible evidence for his resurrection. Then I say, there must be a God to make this happen. And that Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus is the radiance of God in human flesh. He's the Savior of the world. He's really the hope of the world. And that's why he's at the center of Community Bible Church. CBC is a Christ-centered community making disciples, and disciples are like apprentices, right? An apprentice is a person who sits under the instruction of somebody who's a master, has a master skill over here. So this apprentice is here watching, listening, and doing the things that the master did. This is what we want to do with Jesus. We want to follow him, be disciples of him, learning from him, and therefore becoming more like him. And as you can see here, Jesus loved God the Father. We want to love God the Father. Jesus loved his word. He memorized it. He knew it. He spoke it. And Jesus reached out in love to people around him. We want to become more like Jesus and do all these things as well. And of course, Jesus reached out into his world with the good news that he'd come to make us new, to forgive our sins, and to give us a new purpose and a reason for living. So Over the past 43 years, we give thanks to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the many men and women who've been engaged here at Community Bible Church. But can we live in the past? We cannot. If you're stuck in the past, you never move forward, right? So now, in 2022, we say we can't live in the past, but look at this promise for people who have been looking back a lot. Isaiah spoke to the people of his day, and he said this, the words of God to them, and I believe the words of God to us as well. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. God speaking, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. We have a prayer meeting here every Sunday morning from 9 till about 9:45, a little after 9:30, maybe. And one of the comments that was made this morning is this person was sensing a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit at Community Bible Church, a fresh encouragement, a fresh joy in the Lord. Could God be doing a new thing, a fresh thing, stirring up something powerful? We can't live in the past. We're not going to live in the past. So I want to give you a little test just now. As we think of moving forward, moving into the future, this is our vision statement. So, exam time. I used to be a school teacher, so I like giving pop quizzes. So here you go. Community Bible Church is a... Oh, good job. Christ-centered community, making disciples who love God first, love His Word. We love the Scriptures. Love one another or each other, reaching into the world with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Reaching out, not just keeping things to ourselves, but reaching out. Where do we get these ideas for this statement? Well, just quickly, first of all, from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. After Jesus had died, all the disciples saw him dead as a doornail. They knew he was gone, he was dead. Some of the people heard about him later on, and Jesus appeared to them in a resurrected body. Can hardly believe it. Jesus says, okay, go to a hill, I'll show you, and I'll meet you over there. So then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Jesus in his resurrected body, they worshipped him. But what's the next statement? But some doubted. Isn't this amazing? I mean, here they are. They're seeing the resurrected Jesus, and they still have doubts about, how could this be? So I find this very encouraging. When I have doubts, when I have questions, when I have struggles, when I have things that I'm working through, these are the very people that Jesus empowered to go out and make disciples of all people. We want Community Bible Church to be a safe place for you when you're investigating faith. When you have doubts about something, when you have questions, that you can come here and ask those questions. God is so big, he's not afraid of questions, right? And maybe some of you have grown up in environments where you weren't supposed to ask questions. You don't ask questions. You just do what I tell you. We don't want that to be the atmosphere here at all, where we're searching and where we're finding the Lord Jesus. So anyway, they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you. We don't go in our own authority. We go in the authority of Jesus Christ. He said, go and make disciples of everybody, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And listen, surely, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Making disciples. This is where we get the idea of Community Bible Church helping us all be better apprentices of Jesus so that we follow Jesus and really follow him well. so that it's not just a matter of knowledge about God, but it's a matter of the truth coming into our lives and transforming us, changing us, so that we live in a fresh way, in a new way, like Jesus. Making disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just would say, every Christian you meet in the New Testament is a baptized person, with the exception of one. Do you know who it was? The thief on the cross, who was hanging beside Jesus. He turned to Jesus. He in faith, asked Jesus for help, and Jesus saved him. He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He couldn't get down on the cross and go and be baptized, but everybody else was. Are you baptized? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized in water? The symbolism is powerful, that you go down under the water. It's a symbol of being, of dying to the old way of life that was killing us anyway, and then rising back up again to a new way of life with Jesus Christ. It's a powerful symbol. There's great encouragement and great strength there. Being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we get a lot of the ideas from this passage. A second one is this. Matthew 22, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, so they'd had some conflict there, the Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second's like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Did Jesus love God? That vertical component, did he love his neighbors? Yes, he did, and he calls us to do the same. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, he says. We're called to do the same, to love God, to have this vertical thing, and to love one another, to have the horizontal thing as well. And here's one of the huge conundrums in our world about Christians, is that there are non-Christians who look at us and see, boy, oh boy, they talk a lot about this God and this connection with God. But when I see them and how they relate to one another, it's not very good. We are asking the Lord to change us so that the vertical matches the horizontal. You with me? That our connection with God fills us with this love, 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 so that we're reaching out to hear that we are really loving, kind, merciful, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit with one another, and then out into the world to people who don't know Jesus yet as well. Well, I'm coming to the end here. I've got another statement. Only when we are growing stronger in love, 7 days a week, like this is our life all the time, will we be stronger in reaching our communities with Jesus and his good news. There are so many people all around us, who don't know Jesus. They're not following Jesus. There's a whole generation of kids growing up who only think Jesus is a swear word, and they're not learning about the Lord. We are praying that this church will be a light shining into the community, helping people to know about the life that Jesus can give, the forgiveness, the purpose, the gift of eternal life. And only as we're growing stronger then in our relationships here, our relationship with God, our relationships with one another, our relationships with our neighbors, will we actually get a hearing for people to understand the gospel, Jesus and his good news. Because the gospel is not just a set of statements. It's not just a set of arguments. The gospel has a face, and it's Jesus. Jesus, the one who left the grandeurs of heaven and came here and gave his life for us in service to people, reaching out to those who were on the margins and those who had been sort of kicked out and left and deserted. And he reached out to all with this love of God. The humble inclusion of all people, the absolute refusal of Jesus to hate. He's hanging on the cross, and the people who put him there are all around and jeering at him, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The absolute refusal to hate. And he gives us the same thing, doesn't he? He says, "What do you do with your enemies?" Well, naturally, you hate them or you fight them, you do whatever. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for them. Do good to those who do bad to you. Bless those who curse you. What an amazing Savior he is. Jesus, that's why we want to be Christ-centered. And we want our homes to be Christ-centered. And we want our homes to be a center of love and peace and the stories of Jesus and his life. So, as we do this, this final scripture from John 17, Jesus is praying for his people, and here's what he says. He's praying to Father God, "Father, my prayer is not just for my disciples here. I pray for all those who will believe in me through their message." Well, that's us, right? "That all of them may be one, Father." Unity, love, togetherness. "Just as you're in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me." Our love for one another, our unity, our bonding, our engagement is such a powerful a witness out to the world, eh? So how are we going to do this fall? I got four things real fast. One is we're going to pray. We're going to pray and pray and pray. And we want everything to be bathed and covered in prayer. And you know, we have a bunch of men who pray here every Friday morning, and there are a bunch of women who pray also every Sunday morning. There are a group of people who pray downstairs before the service. There's prayer in the small groups, in the life groups. There's individual prayer. We want to cover and saturate everything in prayer. Because how do things actually happen in the spiritual realm? "Not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit," says the Lord. So we're going to pray. Secondly, we're going to do meaningful training, apprentice training, if you like, for every age group and every person. So starting with children, there's the STEM program that we were talking about before, but there every Sunday morning, there's discipleship training. For youth, for young adults, for young families, there's a thing coming up in 2 weeks, especially for you, that will be very helpful. For singles, for married, and for older people like over 50, I'm one of you. There's the legacy group. So there are things for every group of people to help strengthen us in our following of Jesus. To that end, our sermons over the next few weeks up until Christmas time are going to be addressing a couple of issues that I think are very, very important for all of us. There was a survey done in 2017 in Canada, so I know it's 5 years ago, but the idea was that numbers of people who don't go to church at all were saying, I don't go to church, but I would consider going to church if the church would address like current issues and things that are actually helpful to life, like forgiveness, and like family values. So we are going to spend 3 weeks talking about forgiveness. What does God say about forgiveness? How important is it? How do we do it? How do we become better forgivers? We're going to spend then 4 weeks on family relational values. How do we strengthen our homes? How do we strengthen our marriage relationships? How do we strengthen our friendships? And we're going to see what God has to say with these things. And then in December, we're going to take 4 weeks to look at Jesus. as we move up to Christmas. We're going to talk about the true meaning of Christmas, and we're asking you through this fall, over these 4 months, to be in touch with your neighbors and so on, and just talk with them and relate to them and befriend them. And then at Christmas time in December, invite them. Why don't you come to church with us? You know, we're going to be talking about there's something for your kids, and there's something about Jesus and the true meaning of Christmas. These are going to be outreach Sundays. We're going to pray, meaningful training for all. We have a preaching plan coming up. And then we're going to ask you through this fall, where will you be engaged in what God is doing here in the church and engaged out in the community as well? Last Sunday, do you know that there were 50 people here who were engaged last Sunday in making last Sunday happen? 50 people who were setting up the bouncy tent and barbecuing stuff and setting things up and all kinds of things. That's wonderful, that kind of engagement. Some of you are doing too much. Some of you are not doing enough. How can we this fall, how can we think about, okay, here are my gifts and abilities, how can I serve? How can I serve, step it up a little bit here at Community Bible Church? And I just say, if you feel this for yourself, if you'd like to be involved more, get in touch with me, get in touch with one of the leaders here, call up the office here during the week and say, I want to talk to Don, and tell him what's on your heart and your mind. So, I think I'm done. I just want to pray. Anybody have any questions? We're asking God to do a new thing this fall, to strengthen us, to deepen our love for one another, to deepen our love for the Lord, and to give us this strength and power and passion to reach out in fresh ways in our community. Lord, thank you for this time today. We really, on this anniversary, thank you for all that you've done in the past. But we know we can't live in the past. We can't be stuck back there. So Lord, by your grace and your mercy, I'd like to pray over these next 4 months, from here to the end of the year, that you will do powerful things in our midst, in our community, that you will cause us to rise up with a fresh love for you, a fresh love for one another in the church, a fresh love for people out in the community who don't know you yet, and that you will cause us, Lord, to be a light for you, shining in the dark corners of our world, to be friends to those who are lonely, to be those who represent you as your ambassadors, truly and well, in our world. Help us, Lord, we pray. We commit all of us into your care, this church, all your people. We ask for your blessing and your power, and we look forward to seeing how you're going to surprise us in these next few months with your power, your grace, your love, your mercy poured out in fresh ways. We give you thanks, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.